because we found that Filipino officers over Filipinos would just put them down and grind them into the dirt. They found the same thing in the military about the black race. A black officer over black troops was the worst kind of officer you could put over them. He was worse to his own people than any white officer. And these men knew it. And when you'd assign a white officer to one of those units, they were happy and they were glad because they knew they would get justice. Because that white man always had justice in his heart and his mind. But they couldn't get justice from their own. And you see the same thing in Africa today. They eat each other. They do. Well, they eat white men too. Better stay away from there. Well, the Psalm tells you in Psalm 68, the first four verses, and here's something that a lot of people should watch, this Psalm 68, because I've told you the spelling, Hebrew spelling, of the name of God was Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. We've told you that the Y was changed to a J by many translators. J, and then they put a vowel E in there because the Hebrew had no vowels. Then they brought the H down. Y-H-J-E-H it became. Then they put the O, which is a vowel, brought the V down, put a vowel A, and brought the H down and came out with Jehovah. If you could put that on a little piece of paper, you could see it better. Well, the J was, Y was changed to a J. Because it's Germanic. So the German doesn't call his son Joseph using a J. He, or the Swede or the Scandinavian doesn't either. Neither does the Slav. They call him Yosef. Why? So the Y and the J were interchanged. Now read the 68th Psalm. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Well, someone hates your God. Who is it? Satan, of course. Satan hates you. Satan's kids hate you. Don't you think you can go out and fool around these Jews today and that Almighty God sitting up there doesn't know it? I have a lot of people say, and even my own son said to me years ago, oh, he was in the music business. He says, I'm going to work with those Jews. I can outsmart them. Well, he found out he couldn't because Jesus Christ knows your every thought. And he said, have nothing to do with unbelievers and those people who think they can go out and go work with these Jews, and don't think that Almighty God, Jesus Christ, sits up there, knows what they're doing, and takes his blessings away from them completely. You think Almighty God is going to bless you if you turn, violate everything he said not to do and go have communion with those unbelievers? Read 2 Corinthians. Have nothing to do with unbelievers in Jesus Christ. Don't even touch them. I've never been hurt by a Jew. Because I've obeyed that commandment. I've been screwed, blued, and tattooed by people who call themselves Christians. Nobody's ever taken me or used me or anything else except somebody who I thought would come into the identity movement and be a good Christian. Isn't that strange? I'm not kidding you. I've had it. And I'm still here. They're gone. They're gone to diverse places. You know, those kind that want to be captains and won't play unless they can be captain. So they leave and they're gone doing nothing. Because they don't have the ability in the first place. But the psalmist tells you right here, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Now listen to this verse. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name, Jah. See, they spelled it J-A-H, didn't they? They could have spelled it Y-A-H, couldn't they? They could have spelled it Y-H-V-H, too, couldn't they? And why didn't they start singing at this time, Hallelujah, which is Hail Yah. And that's where his name is exposed. The Jews didn't get that out of there, did they? They missed it. They missed the boat. They thought that you wouldn't know his name because they hated the name Yahweh, and they took it out every place they could. Sing unto God by his name Yah. Jah or Yah, Yahweh, Yazus, Jesus is the name. Rejoice before him. Well, there you go. The Bible gives you this name of this God that Eric von Däniken doesn't know who he is when he writes the book, The Chariots of the Gods. And if you look in the Bible, he'd know his name. So now we're going to take you briefly, and I'd be here all week if I quoted all the scriptures that we could pull out of the Bible and use for a sermon of this kind. It's all there. Ye are God's. Ye are the children of God. Who is your God? Your Father. And we've told you before in John chapter 3, none can go to heaven but those who came from heaven. We've told you that your race existed in the heavens before you were born into this flesh bodies here in the earth. Oh, you haven't been told that before, have you? Well, the Bible tells you that. Jesus said, Father, thine they were in the heavens, mine they are in the earth. Who was he talking about? Israel. You, who are now Christians today, who Israel to be known as a new name, as Isaiah said. And in the book of Acts, those disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And any common sense tells you in history, and the Bible shows, before they were called Christians, they were Israelites, except for one. And Jesus said the Jews were the children of the devil. The book of Revelations in chapter 12, verses 7 through 17, tells you of this battle in the heavens, where the archangel Michael and the sons of God fought Lucifer, the fallen angel, and the fallen angel line that he seduced from other planets and got into his army, the angels of Satan's hosts, who were referred to in the Sumerian dynasty histories as the black kinky-haired ones, who were referred to in your Bible as the angels who lost their first estate because they joined Satan and joined him to fight Whitey and the sons of God to take everything that they had and take the kingdom. And who's running the black revolution in America today? Who's financing these blacks, telling them that they will take over and we'll put you in Cadillacs, take everything Whitey has, and we'll put you on welfare? Look at these poor niggers driving these Cadillacs all over this country. Isn't it a shame? Persecuted. On welfare. At your expense. The same old story. Satan did it before your race ever came to the earth. And Satan's kids, the Jews, are doing it today. Who's behind the NAACP? Who organized it and financed it? The Spingarn brothers, New York Jews. Who's the president of it today? Kivi Kaplan, a little fat Jew in Chicago. All of them with communist records miles along. Who's head of the Congress of Racial Equality? CORE. Who's got this disease they call sickle cell anemia? All the blacks. Now I heard on the radio a few weeks ago that there's a disease that's prevalent among the so-called Ashkenazim Jews. And they got a New York post office where you can send a lot of dollars to solve that. And when they advertise that these Jews are subject to this disease, they're admitting that the Jew is a race. Well, they're not admitting anything to me. Jesus Christ said they were a race. A generation of vipers. The word generation was grinia in the Greek. A race of devils. A serpent race. And he tells you how they're no good. And how they're against the saints of God. The saints means believing offspring. Well, now we go to Revelation. We go from Genesis to Revelation. We could have started at Revelation. Maybe some people better. Especially that chapter 12. Where Satan was cast out of the heavens to this earth. Long before your race ever came here. And God put Adam and Eve in the earth. And we've explained that from Genesis to you. Put Adam and Eve into this earth in flesh bodies, he wouldn't be God. But it says in your Bible, by translation into the English, that Adam was formed of the dust of the ground. And God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. Well, it didn't say that in the original text. That's the way the translator said it in English. It said in the original that God put, physically, Adam and Eve in a physical flesh body in the earth or in the terrestrial plane. The word terrestrial returns to this planet Earth, one of the planets of this sidereal system of the universe. And the Earth is dirt, they said. So the translator said, formed of the dust of the ground. It didn't say that. You know we're not pieces of dust. And then God put Eve in a flesh body in the earth. That's in Genesis, the first book. After all the other races were created, you think he couldn't do it? And the first note for Adam and Eve were Ish and Isha, which means offspring or progeny. That's why in Luke chapter 3, verse 38, it says Adam is the son of God. The word son in English is the word Ish in Hebrew. Israel, sons ruling with God. El and Eli was a Hebrew for God. We cover that in this book, The Faith of Our Fathers. If you look at the names of your ancient prophets, what were their names? Michael, Daniel, Samuel, Ezekiel. All of them had the L on the end of their names, which is what we call God. Men of God. So now we go to the book of Revelations. As I told you, we could go through back. Read your old New Testament even and see how Paul was telling you that we, the Israelites, are the children of God. So this God that Eric von Däniken doesn't know is revealed in this Bible. And the fact that his race, his children, existed in the heavens is revealed in this Bible. And that they came into this earth by process of being born. And that's simple. God put Adam and Eve in the earth, male and female, not male and female, no. The others were male and female. Man and woman, it says for Adam and Eve. That's different from the other races which were male and female. And he provided for this race to be brought into the earth by process of birth to a woman. Being born to a woman is how every one of us got here. I hope. You were all born. You have a birth certificate. You know where you were born, what city, what time of the day or night. And this is the mystery that Jesus revealed to Nicodemus when he said, in order to participate in Christ's government here on earth, one must be twice born. And Nicodemus was puzzled, a great lawyer, a learned man of Israel. He said, Master, what do I have to do? Go back in my mother's womb to be born the second time? Or born again? And Jesus said, you're a learned man of Israel and you don't understand this mystery. You go back and study some more. Or born again? And Jesus said, you're a learned man of Israel and you don't understand this mystery. You go back and study some more. Where did he go? To the ancient mystery schools of your race in Egypt. Where the great pyramid was built by your ancestors. Well before the flood of Noah's day. And he learned this mystery. That when you were born into this flesh body here in the earth, as the children of God in his family, you were born again. That's when you were born the second time. Why? Because you existed in the heavens. So, how did you get here? You were born. And you were born into the race of God. That makes you a child of God, and that's the only way one can be a member of a family. Oh, yes, you can adopt children. But the heir, the true heir, is the one that's born into the family. That's the law. And if you know the law of the Bible is clear. It's still Anglo-Saxon law today. You know, if you have an estate and you die, your heir, legally, is the one who is born into the family. And if one had been adopted, that's second. All right, so as John 3 tells you, none can go to heaven but those who came from there. And it says, even the Son of Man. No, it didn't. It said, even the seed of Adam, even the descendants of Adam, are going to heaven. Well, you know, our people are all trying to get back to heaven. What for? You've been there. He put you here to do a job. Your race is here to do a job. What is that job? Simple. Bring God's kingdom to the earth. Bring a Christian government and maintain it. Have we done it? No, we haven't. We have allowed Antichrist, satanic forces, Jews, the children of the devil, to take over our government. We have violated God's laws and nations as well as individuals. Don't tell me we don't. I have a lot of people, even in the identity movement, who tell me when I tell them they're working with Jews, they say, oh, we're going to use them. Well, I wonder if they're using me. If they'd use a Jew, they'd try to use me too, maybe. Well, that's a lot of nonsense. So you see, you can't do it and get away with it. But you're here to bring his kingdom in. So we'll go to Revelations chapter 21 and find out how that's going to be brought in. Babylon is symbolic of this Jew debt money system, this Federal Reserve system, this graduated income tax. All of these things that you have imposed upon you today, here in these days of Jacob's troubles, are symbolic of this Babylon that's in your Bible. So in first, we'll conclude this sermon with the first 10 chapters of verses, of chapter 21 of the book of Revelations. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, I saw the holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What's John talking about a new Jerusalem for? Sure, the New Jerusalem. And back in the Old Testament, when God's people Israel were in the Old Jerusalem, he told them, I'm going to give you a New Jerusalem, a new land. All through Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and all through the Old Testament, that Jerusalem was to be a new land. And it was to be divided according to the tribes of Israel. And there were 13 tribes of Israel. And it was forces. So John saw this United States of America. Where did he see it from? He was taken into the Spirit. Now, John wasn't the first one taken into the Spirit. Elijah was taken into the Spirit. Moses was taken into the Spirit. John saw Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus Christ in the flesh body on the Mount of Transfiguration. Enoch was taken into the Spirit. Job was in the Spirit. And even in the book of Job, you check it out in chapter 9, God speaking to Job, and he says, where were you when I formed the earth and created all of this? And you sat here and saw me do it. So there's a lot of evidence in the Bible that your race was in the heavens. There's one denomination of the Christian faith that will agree with this right down the line. Whether a lot of others don't or not makes no difference. And that's the Mormon faith. The Mormon denomination agrees with this existence of your race, of the pre-Adamic or before you came into the earth. He says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, that's a little mistranslation. Tabernacle means tent or which you are occupying. Your body is your tabernacle. Your spirit is in your body, which is the tabernacle for you. The seed of God is in you. That's why Christ is in you. It's the Christ in you that's the hope of glory. So reading this properly, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. These were Adamites, it said, not men. They will be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. O Israel, thy God is one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What does that mean? Well, if you knew your scriptures, you'd know that Jesus Christ came to conquer death and to set Israel free from sin or error. And Jesus conquered death, so you can't die. So this passage of John says he saw it. He saw what was going to happen in the future. He saw that Christ was going to come, allow Satan's kids to crucify him, stick the knife in his side as it had happened to Adam, which you'll read about in this book, The Faith of Our Fathers. All this background we give you. And therefore, when he went into Sheol for those 3 days after he was crucified, he set the spirits of your race which had been in bondage to Satan there free and took them back to the celestial plains of the heavens with him. And therefore, from that time on, no spirit of your race, when it leaves this body, can go to Sheol or be in bondage to the devil. It returns back to the heavens from whence it came. You're instantly in the twinkling of an eye. You don't die. Your spirit leaves this body, which is earthbound and terrestrial, and returns to the heavens and with Jesus Christ. And your Bible tells you that too. God will wipe away all their tears. He conquered death. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Where's the throne? Anybody studying astronomy? And even in this book, the astronomers can't figure it out. The Bible tells you the throne of God is the Pleiades. The Almighty God's throne is right there in the Pleiades. And that's where the ark is. And it was taken there. How do you think they took it there? The same kind of spaceships that were used that he's talking about. Because they can't find it anywhere. The ark of the covenant that Moses had. And the Israelites. So he said, I make all things new. Well, that's the New Testament. He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Then he said to me, it is done. Who said it was done? Oh, the translators, when Christ was crucified, they put in there, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't say any such thing. The correct translation is Eli Melectani, it is done. It is done. I returned to the heavens. That's what Christ said when he was crucified. He never once said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The translators put that garbage in there. He said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who said I am the Alpha and the Omega? Jesus Christ, of course. I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Who said he would give you that? Jesus Christ. And here John is talking about the Almighty God. Certainly, it's Jesus. How come Moses feared the esteem of Jesus Christ in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? Why, the average church won't even tell you that Christ was around in the days of Moses, would they? Who do they think Moses spoke to on the mount? If it weren't Jesus. Yahweh. He that overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. See, we've got a little growing up to do, haven't we? You don't become a legal son, even in legal terms, in your own family on earth, until you've reached an age of what? 21. Then legally you're a son. So we got some growing up to do. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers, that's these race mixers, and these sorcerers, these idolaters and all liars, they'll have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a second death. A lot of them are going to go through it. One of the prophets had to go through it. John the Baptist, Elijah. If you'll remember in the Old Testament, Elijah was telling the people the truth and they didn't like it. And that woman said, Elijah, I'm going to cut your head off. And Elijah was running all the time to keep his head from getting cut off. And Elijah had to have his head cut off. He didn't have his head cut off the first time he was here. But when he came back, resurrected as John the Baptist, what happened to him? He had his head cut off. The second death. So if you're here the first time, all right. But if you're here the first time and you're doing all these things, you're race mixing, you're lying, you're working against the kingdom, you're working against anybody who's doing the work of Christ, his anointed, touch not mine anointed ones, he says, you're going to face a second death. And there came to me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Who's his wife? You, Israel, God's people. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and he showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heavens from God. John the Baptist looked down from this high space and saw what? The United States of America. This great new Jerusalem, where you now are in the latter days of Jacob's trouble. So as we have our communion service, we understand what it's all about. We know that we are the ancestors of those people who were in Egypt. They were not Jews. They were Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Lombard, Germanic peoples. Our ancestors now called Caucasians. And they were told to do three things. They were told at the 10th day of the month Nisan to select a lamb for the slaughter. But they were not to kill the lamb until the 14th day of the month at the hour of the slaughter of the lamb. One more condition. Do not break one bone of the lamb. What was that all about? Oh, they tell you that was the Jews' Passover. No, it wasn't the Jews' Passover. The Jews don't have a Passover. Because the Jews weren't in Egypt unless they were the Shilohites, who were Jews with the Israelites and shouldn't have been. That was your Passover. The Apostle Paul says, Christ is our Passover. So when you take your communion, you're understanding that thousands, or hundreds of years later, on a 10th day of the month Nisan, the same as in the book of Exodus, Christ was selected for crucifixion by the Jews. He was crucified. Christ was broken. And the Elijah, who was John the Baptist resurrected, who came before him to witness his coming, said when he saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. So when you take your communion service, you're doing a symbolic thing which says you are now being right in communion with Jesus Christ in the heavens. Believe it or not, when you take this communion, you are putting yourself in direct communion or communications with God. And you are telling him, now I know who I am. I know that I am a descendant of those sons and daughters of God who were in Egypt. And now I know, Jesus Christ, you are that God. And this pleases your heavenly Father. He hears every word of it. So I bless this bread in the name of Yahweh or Yahshua, which is Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Amen. As this bread is symbolic of the doctrine of Christ and his body, we pray all glory be to the Almighty Father, Jesus, For you suffered death upon the cross for our redemption. You made a full and a sufficient sacrifice and a satisfaction for our sins. You did command us to continue a perpetual memory of that sacrifice until you return. For in the night in which you were betrayed, you took bread. When you had given thanks, you broke it. You gave it to your disciples, and you said, "Take this bread and eat it. This is symbolic of my body, which has been given for you. Now you do this in remembrance of me." I bless this wine in the name of Yahweh, our Yahshua, which is Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Likewise, Jesus, after supper, you took the cup. When you had given thanks, you gave it to them. You said, "Drink this. This is symbolic of my blood of the New Testament, which has been shed for you for the remission of your sins. Now you do this as often as you will drink this in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Heavenly Father, Jesus, we, your humble servants, have made this memorial that you have commanded us to make. We have in remembrance your precious death and your mighty resurrection and your return to the heavenly plains. We offer thee most hearty thanks. We humbly beg of you, Jesus, to hear us, hear these prayers, bless and sanctify these gifts that we have made in order that we may be partakers of thy blessed body and thy blood. And we ask this in thy name, Yahweh, our Yahshua, which in English is Jesus the Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Amen. Now it's out, isn't it? It's on the films in your theaters that the red-haired, white-faced, pink-faced men are the sons of God. And they've got all the archaeological evidence to prove it. So go see the picture and enjoy it. Because that knowledge of identity, and with the knowledge of identity, I'm sure you'll enjoy this picture, which brings up a lot of things that these other people are sitting there and have no understanding of whatsoever, because their clergy haven't instructed them in the truth of who are God's children here in the earth. So, go see it. It's worth it. Looking for the truth all over the land, and they're waking up. On our last trip, 12 tape groups were started in New York State alone in 1 week. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Missouri, now New Jersey, New York, the state of New York, not the city of New York, all over this country, in the southern states, Texas, Oklahoma, this message, they're crying for it. They're getting sick and fed up with these Jew preachers like Billy James Hargis, who writes in his paper that this Jew's going back to this phony state of Israel is biblical. And that was in his last one. And he's a yellow belly and a liar, because the Bible doesn't say any of that at all. And Rabbi Billy Graham, too. He's as phony as a $3 bill. Now Christians are aware of it. And don't think I'm talking behind their back, because anytime they want to meet me in an alley and get it face to face, I'll meet them. They are liars. They're the false prophets. And they have no right to even call themselves Christian ministers. They're not preaching the truth. They're deceiving God's people. And people are finding it out all over the country. And they want the word, and they want it 100%. And we've got letters and mail from all over that tell us the reason they like our tapes and the reason they like the ministry of Christ Church and want to associate with us is because we don't compromise. It's 100% with Jesus Christ or nothing. And we're not going a little bit with him. We're going all the way. And they're not used to that. It's a little difficult. It's hard. It's the straight and the narrow gate Jesus speaks about. But that's the way we're going. And when we don't go that way, goodbye, I'll be playing golf. I won't be in this pulpit. And until that time, we're going to stay right down the line with truth. They don't like it. You got some rich meat today? Fine. Rich meat is food. You don't need milk. Let the little ones have milk, the weak ones, and get it from Rabbi Eddie for Armageddon. And we're in it, and we'd better be prepared. So our purpose and our function is to prepare you. You've heard a lot of talk, haven't you? Well, Well, I guarantee you this next year, from this church, you're going to see more action. At times, we might ask you to participate. We're not going to tell you what that is over this tape program right now because we don't know who listens to these tapes. But we're going to tell you that there's going to be action programs in this next year. And when we ask you to participate, you'll know that it's an action program. And it's not just some talk anymore. We've talked long enough. Now we're going to start doing it. So we want to thank you for coming. We appreciate your help, your financial help. These Jew dollars, these Jew Federal Reserve notes, we can put to work to destroy the enemies of Christ and your constitutional Christian republic. We don't want them for ourselves. I don't use any of it. I have my own finances. But I put it all to work, and I put some of mine with yours. And all my time and my effort is put to this project and these programs. So your help, you'd be surprised, is what will do this job. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. So all together, we can help put this to work. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, we ask thy blessings upon this offering. Bless those who give it and multiply it to meet their own personal needs. We ask this in thy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to thank you for coming. Bring your friends. Spread this truth. Go out and tell this truth and lose your friends. Or the ones you thought were your friends. Shall we stand? Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, again we give thee thanks for this gathering of thy children here in thy name. We ask for the dismissal of this congregation with the unction of thy Holy Spirit. We ask it in thy name, Yahweh, our Yahshua, which is Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Amen.
We thank you for listening. We would like to announce that the national headquarters of the Ministry of Christ Church is located at 4241 USONA Road, Mariposa, California, zip code 95338. You may write to that address and request an order form for cassette tape sermons of Reverend Gale and other ministers of this church, which have been presented for the past many years. We would like to conclude this service with the music of the church.